KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. We're talking about a very tender topic, folks, today. You know, sometimes I just talk about the pretty pictures you should put in your dating profiles. But if we're going to talk about the science of love, we have to realize that it is estimated that 10 million people in the United States are affected every year by family and domestic health violence. And according to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, Kayla, I want you to guess. Oh, no, you saw the rundown. You can't guess. What's the average number of times it takes a person to leave a toxic relationship?
I actually didn't read that part. I'm going to guess 3 times.
7.
Really?
7.
Wow.
Oh, David's thinking 8. You think it's 8? Where'd you read your stat?
I just threw up a number.
Oh, you're close. Yeah. So here's what happens. The friends start to lose patience in the process. This does not help the person. They're going to have to practice leaving over and over and over. And if their friends start to abandon them every time they go back, here's the most important thing I want all the friends to listen to. If you know somebody who's in a toxic or dangerous or unsafe relationship, when they leave, do not sit there and bash the ex. You know, he was not good for you. She was terrible. Because guess what's going to happen? When they go back one of those 7 times, now the two of them are going to collude together against you, the friend, because you are bad-mouthing the ex. Instead, your language should focus on them and their safety and their bravery and their survival and their kids if they exist, right? So it's just like, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're independent. I really want to help you. But don't spiral down into that person's so bad for you. Don't you ever go back. And if I hear you going back, you're not going to get help from me next time. That is not going to help the person. I want to tell you something, that when I was pregnant with my first daughter, a group of my girlfriends got together ostensibly for a luncheon to plan my baby shower. And while they were there, they said to me, this isn't a baby shower planning party. This is an intervention. And if you do not leave him, we will not be throwing you a baby shower. And they didn't. And they abandoned me. And what do you think happened? I got closer to him because he's all I had in the world. So when they leave, say, I'm here for you. And when they go back, you say, when you're ready to leave again, I'm still here for you. That's what you need to do. All right. So if you're in a toxic relationship or you're advising somebody in a toxic relationship, the first thing you need to create is a support system. You need an initial contact person for help or shelter, a friend, a family member. If you're in a toxic relationship, you're going to say, I don't know if it's going to be this week, this month, this year. But if I were to leave so-and-so, would you have a place for me to stay for a few weeks? Get that plan set up well ahead of time. Also, pack your important items before you leave, because guess what? The minute you decide that it's time is when you're in a totally unsafe situation. There's no time to pack, right? So have a bag somewhere, maybe even at a friend's house, right? Just somewhere else. If you have children, if you have pets, plan ahead. Steps to protect them. I don't have to tell you, you need another cell phone. You need another cell phone. Did you hear me? I said, you need another cell phone. You can get free ones through all kinds of domestic violence shelters or the National Domestic Violence Helpline. Give them a call, the hotline. There are lots of organizations. I think, didn't Verizon for a while, if you turn in your old phone, they refurbish it and they give it to people surviving domestic violence?
Yeah, they were encouraging that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's or she, I don't want to keep one gender on it, but I'm sorry, majority of victims are women. But yes, men become victims too. But your mate is all over your phone and all into your phone. So if you're texting your friends about safety and support and who would take the dog if I ever left him, they're reading it. So you need a separate phone. Now, when it's time to actually leave, it's not a time to sit down and have a cup of tea with your mate and negotiate and discuss and make a plan. No, you just got to get out quick. clean, sharp, go. They will come home. Your closet will be empty. You get it? It's the only way it can work. And you're going to go and surround yourself with your support network. As much as I tell your friends not to collude with you about, you know, saying bad things about your mate, I don't want you to forget. You see, what happens is whenever we look back on our relationships, any relationship, we always look back with rose-colored glasses. I want you to look back with very clear lens that reminds you why you left and keep repeating it over, over, over again. Get independent quickly. Have a plan for that. Whether it's a new job, whether it's housing, plan that all ahead of time. You might have your support system for a couple of weeks, because here's what I don't want you to do. You know what? Well, I'll just go stay at my sister's for 2 weeks with the kids. She said I could stay there for 2 weeks. And by then he will get the message and he will change and life will be so much better after that. No, it's not going to change ever. You are in a traumatic bond. Traumatic bonds do not change. When you go back, there's going to be a little honeymoon phase. Yeah, you're going to say, Dr. Wendy, you were wrong. Oh my God, I got back. The house was clean. There were flowers. It was so nice. Wait. That's called the honeymoon phase. And it comes right after you leave. But once you leave up to 7 times, that's the average amount of times a victim of domestic violence leaves before they leave permanently. I can't stress it enough. If you know somebody in this situation, do not abandon them. Help them get those resources they need, a better job, a place to stay, a free cell phone, figure out where you're going to hide it, make sure it's off. Don't let it be buzzing under the pillow. I mean, literally, this is life or death. I never imagined in a million years that I would open my eyes lying down, staring at my kitchen trash can, wondering why I was on the floor. And that's what happened when I regained consciousness. And until you've had a concussion, listen, you football players and boxers out there, I just want to bow down to you. This is the worst pain I think I've ever felt. I had a headache for easily 5 days, like a boxer. It felt like my brain was swollen in my head. When I went down, my vision, my memory is like a bad movie that was jump cut. And so it was my brain bouncing back and forth inside my skull. That's what a concussion, I know if you're a football player or a boxer or any other sports where you get hit in the head a lot, you know what I'm talking about. But moms with little kids, we're not supposed to experience that. We didn't sign up for that, right? And for those of you who have been sending, before we go, I'm going to change the topic because when we come back, I want to talk about the 5 biggest mistakes people make at the beginning of a relationship, whether you're coming out of that toxic one or just entering the dating marketplace again, maybe you've gone through a divorce. I'm going to tell you how to set it up healthy this time. I know I'm looking on social media and I'm seeing your comments about how can you forgive him? How could you? Listen, forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. Resentment is like drinking poison and hoping somebody else will die. Me having great compassion for all the people involved in this situation is part of my mental health, my good mental health. And just because I understand and just because I have compassion doesn't mean that I will ever put myself in a situation where anybody can ever hurt me again. But it's okay to keep your compassion and have some understanding. All right, when we come back, you ready for another relationship? Maybe you went through a divorce, a breakup. Maybe it's time. Maybe you're just young and you're entering the mating marketplace for the first time. Ooh, I want to get my clutches into you because I've got some news for you. The 5 biggest mistakes people make at the very beginning of a new relationship. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Andrew Caravella's got the news for us.
LA County is demanding that Vanessa Bryant take an independent psychiatric evaluation to prove the leaked photos of the helicopter crash that killed her husband and daughter caused emotional distress. After 2 years of revamping the MacBook, Apple is set to potentially unveil a new design at their launch event tomorrow. And consumers in the Inland Empire have the highest...
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. So, Kayla, you know I told you earlier I want to get a new headset because this one sounds a little hollow in my ears.
Yeah.
Well, it also has a loose wire.
Oh.
Because I was just talking and not hearing myself. And David's like, yeah, thumbs up. You're there. And I'm like, I am. So if you follow me on social media, go onto Instagram right now, at Dr. Wendy Walsh, at Dr. Wendy Walsh, and tell me what kind of headset I should order. I had a Bose set for like a while and they fell apart. But then I realized they fell apart because they worked so well for like 6 years. And then I went on the internet and ordered something else because they were white. And I went for the color rather than the sound. So you tell me, what are the best big head, not little earbuds. What do we call these?
I think they're just
headphones.
They're just headphones.
Headphones, big ones, you
not
know, like
earbuds.
We wear on radio. You tell me the best quality. I know some of you are in the music industry. You sit plugged into soundboards all day long, into computers. Tell me what the best headset is. Just a referral. I just need to know what to order. I'll go right online and order it tonight. Just post it. At Dr. Wendy Walsh. Okay. I'm going to also be taking your calls a little later. You can just tell me on the phone. All right. So let's talk about the five biggest mistakes people make at the very beginning of a relationship. I see this over and over and over. Reminder, I learned this the hard way. I made all these mistakes. It's not you being bad. It's me going, oh, yeah, I did that. But here's what works better. All right. So people blame the dating apps instead of their relationship skills. They will say to me, and probably five people said to me last night at the LA Press Club Awards, oh, you met your boyfriend on Bumble? I've never had good luck with Bumble. I don't have good luck with Tinder. I don't have good luck with Hinge. I just don't have good luck. This is the same way that people used to say, you go to that club. No, I've never met anybody at that club, right? It doesn't have to do with the app. It has to do with your relationship skills and how you use the app. As I like to say, cars don't kill people. Drunk drivers kill people. Apps don't ruin your love life. You ruin your love life by not using them correctly. And now you're like, how do I use them? How do I use them? Okay, here's how you use them. You only match, allow yourself to match with two people so that you can avoid paradox of choice. Dating apps are designed to get you addicted to the apps, not to help you find love. And the more people you match with, the more you will suffer from paradox of choice, which simply means the more choice a human being is given, the less likely they are to make a choice. And when they do make a choice, they value it less. Like they're always thinking about the bigger, better deal they left behind, the woulda, coulda, shoulda, the what if. And so therefore, you match with two people. Then within a few text messages, they may be called dating apps, but they're not. You're not supposed to date on them. They're meeting apps. So after a few texts, you give up your phone number or you ask for their phone number. If you don't know that you can block somebody later, learn. If you don't know that you can get a free Google phone number that nobody can trace, learn. Okay, there's ways. I always hear women go, oh, you give your phone number? Yeah, I know how to block people later. It's fine. Or you ask for their number and then whatever your carrier is, I know mine is like star 67 or something. And when you call them, it blocks it. Whatever, there's some way to do it. It's easy. And then you get on the phone because you can tell so much more by using your detective skills, by listening. Your ears can tell you so much more about a person than what they curate carefully in their texts. All right. Then the first date. Wait, is that something later? No. The first date. Well, that's actually number two. Here's number two. Number one is don't blame the apps for your poor early dating skills. Number two, do not get caught up in your projections and have these crazy romantic dates instead of meetups with strangers. That's what it is. It's a meetup with a stranger. It is not Cupid shooting a bow. What I mean by this is you read a few texts, you get on the phone, somebody gives good phone, and then you let your fantasies run wild. And then you say, oh, we're going to have a date. And then you get all dressed up. You go to a restaurant. You might even get stood up. Listen, I've even been stood up in restaurants from dating app things. Oh, yes. Don't think I'm the queen of life. I got to be the queen of life by having every experience happen to me. All right. I'm not the queen of life because life came easy. I talked to a woman last night who said three different times she got all dressed up and went to a restaurant. The person didn't even show up. So you shouldn't be meeting somebody you don't trust to show up. right? And how do you build that trust? You stay on the phone a little more. You get to know them more. And then you say, hey, let's meet for a quick coffee. I don't know whether you're going to be somebody that might be a work contact. I don't know if you're going to be somebody I might introduce to a friend. I don't know if romance is in the cards for us, but let's say hello. I used to, when I was using the dating apps at the beginning, use the GPS to just get people in my neighborhood. And when I referred to them in the text, I would say, hey, neighbor, you want to meet at the local coffee shop? You live in my hood, right? I would just like, keep it light, because you never know. Look, the next week you could walk into a business meeting and they could be sitting right there, because peers are attracted to peers across a lifespan, and you're going to run into these people. Even in big cities, you run into, look, you want to know, a friend of mine gave me her phone the other night. We're out to dinner and she's about my age, about my height, looks kind of like me. And she's a psychiatrist. And she's like, go through my feed in Bumble. Tell me what you think. Who should I go out with? This guy? Should I go out with that guy? I had dated two of the guys in her feed. Okay. So you don't think we live in such a big city? Peers.
They say great minds think alike.
Exactly. Well, they were both, we were kind of the same type, right? So we were attracted to this. Those guys were attracted to us. And when I say went out with, I mean like a short date. We're not talking about relationship. Anyway, the other problem, the biggest mistake people make early on in new relationships is they confuse lust with love. Okay. Love is what happens after the cocktail of neurohormones calms down. I'm going to explain the other two things when we get back, because David says I've talked too long and that's what happens. Also, there's new research out showing how LGBTQ relationships can be more supportive and more healthy. I've got lots of advice for you coming up too. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
I don't know. And I can't change. Even if I tried. Even if I wanted to. And I can't change.
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. And yes, you can change, especially if you want to. When you first meet somebody, be careful not to confuse lust with love. When your brain gets assaulted with a cocktail of neurohormones called lust, it is really hard to keep your head clear. But love is what happens after they die down. And you do kind of a cost-benefit analysis, and you make an intellectual commitment to love. But people get caught up in those neurohormones early, and they think that is love. And that's why the other big relationship mistake that people make early on is they make big decisions too early. Because they're not in love, they're in lust. And the big decisions might include posting on social media that you're a couple, or even moving in together, or God forbid, getting married, right? All too much too soon. But I would say the biggest mistake that people who want a relationship, now I want to clarify that, people who want a committed relationship, the biggest mistake they make in the early stages of dating is they fail to get relationship definition before they have sex. In a couple segments from now, we are going to open up the phone lines. We will be taking your calls. I have been watching the comments and questions all week come in on my social media. And I'm telling you, there are 5-10 versions of that same question. When should you ask for a relationship definition? How do you ask for a relationship definition? I am going to explain. Okay. Shall we move along? I was reading this really interesting research on same-sex relationships. And I actually had, it's not uncommon for people to ask me, well, Dr. Wendy, it seems like most of the stuff you present on your social media is very heteronormative. And do you have any advice for people in same-sex relationships? My usual response is, you know, it's the same dynamics, except you get the freedom to create gender roles however you want. You don't have to conform to any kind of preconceived role of what is the man supposed to do in a relationship, what's the woman supposed to do in a relationship. You can be two human beings and decide who takes out the trash, who initiates sex, who takes care of the kids. It's all up to you, right? That's the good news. However, what I omitted when I was talking to the guy who the other day asked me that question is that there are some unique challenges to same-sex relationships, such as partners suffer discrimination. They come home sometimes feeling very defeated. As a couple, they have to make sometimes life and death decisions about where and when it's okay to have a public display of affection, depending on where you live in the country. And I know a lot of you are listening on the iHeartRadio app all over the country because I get your messages on social media. And we're in very liberal California. We're in very liberal Los Angeles. I would hope that any same-sex couple in the city I live in feels comfortable holding hands with their partner in public. But it's not that way in all kinds of pockets of America. People in same-sex relationships, one or both of the partners may also suffer from family rejection or the fear of family rejection that means that they have to keep the relationship a secret in some way. Yes, in 2021, all of these stressors can affect mental health. All of these stressors can be brought into the relationship. So there's this new research that's been done on LGBTQ relationships, and the researchers found that there are 7 relationship maintenance behaviors that can predict healthier relationships. Now, if you're in a heteronormative or heterosexual relationship, these same things apply to you. But the reason why I want to make sure that I give particular care to same-sex partners is because they have all these other stressors that I just talked about. Discrimination, family rejection, worrying about how safe it is to publicly have the relationship. So here's some advice for queer partners. Number one, assurances. The biggest predictor of a positive relationship is that you give each other comforting words, supportive actions, and remind each other of the commitment and dedication you have to each other. Number two, shared social networks. If you're hiding your partner because they're not in your social network, they're not in your family life, it's going to be more stressful. So your relationship will do better if you have interactions, positive interactions, with the same social group who support your relationship. Number three, this applies to every human, good conflict management skills. Do you listen attentively to your partner, or are you always thinking of comeback? If you need to brush up on your conflict resolution skills, do it. Number four, this applies to every human in a relationship, being open, which means emotionally vulnerable, honest, and authentic. This becomes the glue that keeps you together in the long run. Number five, sharing advice. We lean on each other's shoulders all the time, and caring for each other and sharing your wisdom. Two brains can accomplish so much more than just one. Number six, positivity. Are you a Debbie Downer? Sorry, all the Debbies in the world. They say that's a sexist statement. I'm not supposed to say it anymore. Okay. Are you negative? I want you to be more positive and bring happiness into your relationship. All relationships. Your partner's not supposed to make you happy. Remember that. It's your job to make yourself happy and bring that into the relationship. And finally, what I touched on earlier, number seven, sharing tasks equitably. Means look at all the domestic responsibilities in the household and find a way to break it down. You don't have to do it based on gender lines. That's the best part of it. Kayla, are we taking calls right after this?
Oh, it's time.
It's time. Oh my goodness. Ding, 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 ding. If you would like to call with a relationship question, don't worry. I'm not going to laugh at your problem. I think you're brave for picking up the phone. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Producer Kayla is going to open up the lines. 1-800-520-1534. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Wendy. This time, was it my headset? David's taking that one. One for the team he took. Hey, it's Dr. Wendy Walsh on KFI AM 640, and this is the time of our show where I am taking your calls. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534, or you can send me a message on social media. At Dr. Wendy Walsh is the handle everywhere. Okay, producer Kayla, who do we have first? Is she on mic or is she on the phone? Hi, it's Dr. Wendy. Who's this? I see a line open and I have no human there. Nobody's there. I see the line open. Hey, it's Dr. Wendy. Are you there? Okay, let's go to social media and you can see if you can get her back. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. All right, let's start here. Somebody simply asks, how do you rebuild trust? Well, of course, it depends what happened, right? Cheating, financial cheating, violence. You may not be able to rebuild trust in certain areas. But in general, let's go with an affair, a single affair, not chronic cheating, a single affair. Time, forgiveness, and therapy. It takes a while to rebuild trust. You have to allow the time, you have to be able to forgive, and you should work with a professional. Okay, producer Kayla, who do we got now? She's talking to me. I see her talking, but I don't hear you. Hi, it's Dr. Wendy.
Hi, Dr. Wendy. This is Kendra. Can you hear me?
I can. I'm so sorry. We were having some technical problems. What's your question,
love?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, and thank you for taking my call. I was wondering why in romantic relationships are so many empaths and narcissists drawn to each other?
That's a really common dyad. So just so that people understand, a narcissistic personality disorder is a full bona fide diagnosis where the person literally has no compassion or empathy. The person, their mate, is an extension of their ego. There's also a whole scale, right? You may not have a narcissistic personality disorder. You might just be a little narcissistic, which means that the underbelly of narcissism is actually a deep self-loathing. It's a feeling like they don't want anyone to see who they really are authentically. So they make this big performance personality that they believe themselves too. Like, it's hard to get underneath. But the reason why empathic people are easily manipulated by them is because the empath feels the pained person underneath the narcissism. And the empath is filled with so much empathy, so much compassion. And so they're actually sensing there's a hurt baby under there. And so they go along with this external person who is able to manipulate them, gaslight them, trick them in so many ways. It's fascinating because I have seen narcissists work in a room, and like my radar is up and I just see them right away and move away. But I watch how other people just become enamored with the show. And that's why it's a really common dyad, Kendra. And thank you for asking. And if you're in a relationship with a narcissist, you got to run. Listen to what I said earlier about toxic relationships. Thanks for calling in. If you'd like to call, the number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Okay. Someone asked an interesting question. What should you expect, they ask, when meeting someone organically in the streets, like in public? Because what's really interesting is not many people meet that way anymore. They don't strike up conversations at Starbucks or on the street. Whereas when I was a young woman, I couldn't walk down a sidewalk. I was being hounded so much. Remember, I was a former model, right? And so the guys are just constantly. So here's the thing. What should you expect? Well, you should expect that they're going to give you their social media so you can do a background check. If they won't give up their information, don't give them yours, and figure out who you know in common. This is the great thing about social media, is that in certain cities and towns, you will have acquaintances, friends, and coworkers in common so that that person won't be a complete stranger. The other thing is, if somebody is asking for your number or flirting with you in public, and you feel uncomfortable, don't hope that they will, quote unquote, get the message, because they won't. There's research to show, especially if it's a man doing the pursuing, that their brains are actually wired to overestimate how much you're into them. Overestimate how much you like them. So when you say, hey, I'm running late, I gotta go, bye. Or I got a boyfriend, bye. All they hear is, not now, I can catch you later, right? So you have to turn and say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested. I'm sorry, don't talk to me. You have to be really clear. You have to be really hard on people. All right. Someone asks, a guy asked me out, then stopped responding to me. He won't respond to my texts, but he watches all my stories. Why? So for those that don't understand, stories are something that happen on social media that lasts for about 24 hours. They're little snippets of your life, and you can see who stopped to view them. So he's stopping to view you. This is no different than you walking down the street and him just checking you out. It doesn't mean he's interested. Doesn't mean he's going to be interested. He asked you out and then stopped responding. I'm sorry to report this, but somewhere between the asking out and the stopping responding, he decided he didn't want to go out with you. Now, this may not be a flaw in you. It may be that he met somebody else. It may be he's just busy. Maybe he got back with his girlfriend. It don't always put it on you. It may be that he decided, don't really want to go out with that person. You know what you are on your stories? You're just a little bit of backup mate eye candy. You're eye candy for him, backup mate. If he has not responded to you, block him. Lock him. Don't let him watch your stories. Why? Why are you letting him watch your stories? All right. Oh my gosh, there's so many questions. Kayla, I think there's like 100 questions here. How do I pick one? Is that what we have to do, David? We have to go to break. Okay, when we come back, a woman wants to know about her boyfriend who's married to someone else. Oh, have I got some things to tell her? You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. If you'd like to call in, the number is 1-800-520-1534.